Mate, we covered three states today.
Yeah, we did. And the thing that I took out of it is that the Brisbane Carnival's really starting to heat up.
Yeah.
That's all I really care about, let's be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And in probably the feature race of the day, full credit to the sponsors of that race as well. But I think I've found one of the great get out of the casino bets of all time. And you'll actually be able to see that on my Ned's profile this weekend as well.
Yes, the Ned's profile is great, mate. You know, if you want to follow us in, if you followed us in last week, you would have found a coupler, that's for sure. Maybe you find some more this week at some value, but if you don't want to do that, that's fine. But still, you can do everything else with the Ned's app. You can get weird and exotic as well with the Ned's same race multi. And, you know, there's no one else I'd rather bet with heading into the Brisbane Winter Carnival.
Well, they also have a black book feature there, so you can black book ones for these prep runs into their grand finals. They have the futures markets there. You can do all that good stuff with the good people at Neds.
Mm-hmm. Damn right.
But what are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. We're coming to everyone from a drenched Brisbane, which we're not happy about.
Wet weather footy for Magic Round. Wet weather racing for the Brisbane Winter Carnival.
I'm sick of these New South Wales people, mate. They're just bringing their shitty weather up to our brilliant state. What the fuck is going on here?
So you have an autumn carnival, which has just been absolutely annihilated by rain and wetness and soddenness and sogginess.
Disappointment and just downtrodden punters.
Muddy stuff. And you finally get through that and you're thinking to yourself as a punter, hey, I've just survived the wettest autumn ever.
Ever.
And I've come through the other side and wow, is that a rainbow peering through the clouds? It is. And you follow the rainbow and you're thinking good tracks are at the bottom of the rainbow.
Yeah.
Which is effectively a pot filled with gold for us. Next week, good track specialists apparently. And then you get to the end of the rainbow and you look up and it's pissing down rain again. You've arrived at Eagle Farm, but it's wet.
Well, we arrive at Eagle Farm after, you know, the Racing Queensland stepped in. Market leaders, I might say.
Oh, if they're not market leaders, there's one state they're definitely beating. That's South Australia.
Speaking of South Australia, mate, I snapped Dancer one at any price, so they've had two roughies basically win the group one so far. But we've been doing it wrong, and we'll go through this before the South Australian Derby, which is by far their best group one, in my opinion.
Yeah, unearthed some great horses.
Yeah. not many of you will understand that, but that was funny. We've been doing the form wrong in South Australia.
Have we?
Yeah, and we'll go through that in due course. But
okay.
How was your week? Anything that you wanted to bring to the Drifters' attention at all?
Oh, you know, nothing in particular. I had a nightmare of a punt on Saturday.
Mm.
I couldn't find anything.
No.
I touted, not on this podcast, thank the Lord, but I did tout Gypsy Goddess into Zaki being the freest two-leg multi of the century.
And Pikey decides to flop out the back. I was like, mate, you can't. Come on.
He gets to the 800-meter mark. I'm like, he'll press a button. He'll press a button. Make this a really interesting race. Gets to the 600-meter mark. I was like, yeah, he'll press a button now and make this a really interesting race. Gets to the 400-meter mark. He hadn't moved. Gypsy needs to be wound up, William.
We love Pikey, but he can flop.
He can flop out the gates. Like, he can get it and just flop it out. And just like, well, mate, I didn't need to see that.
And I think he's learning. And, you know, he is.
He's learning.
He's a fantastic jockey. Love Pikey.
I love Pikey, but I watch that in disgust.
But I think he's learning that we're not at Ascot anymore.
No. You're on the Eastern Seaboard, pal. Punk.
What else happened this week? I've been fighting off a little cold, but COVID free, thankfully.
Yeah. Still yet to get COVID.
Yeah, either of us.
Yeah.
Amazingly.
Well, considering how social our lives can be.
Like a little butterfly, aren't we?
Yeah. You know, look, I'll put my hand up and say me especially. you know, I flutter about town like an idiot. And, yeah, just never gotten it. Absolute miracle.
Mate, that's fine. That's fine.
Actually, I was thinking, and Drifters, we'll get your opinion on this. I was thinking of changing this from a horse racing podcast and actually making it a current affairs type podcast where we just talk about, you know, things like the election, COVID-19,
Elon Musk.
House prices, Elon Musk, you know, really hot topics.
Yeah.
I think we'd be great at that.
I can listen. I'm not sure if I can bring too much to the table.
Mate, like I've burped on this podcast before. I reckon I'd spew on the podcast if we're talking about too much.
And let's be honest. I feel like if anyone actually does listen to this,
yeah,
which is a bona fide like a 50-50 at this stage.
It is, yeah.
Given the time of year.
You create zero interest in South Australian racing.
We should have a big spike this week because Brisbane's back.
We're back.
But we shouldn't be touching on those issues because we'd like to keep this lighthearted, you know?
Oh, 100%, 100%.
And that also goes for our horse racing tips as well because
– yeah, take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
yeah, our opinions on the current affairs and what's going on in the world, biggest grain of salt that you've ever had.
100%. And occasionally we'll get one right.
And you know what? Occasionally we will get one right. And, you know, not a lot of punters would have found Zaki on the weekend. My best bet of the day. Hope you dived in at the big price just like I did when I named him as my best bet Drifters, $1.80.
I
couldn't believe you opened at that price.
I know. It was silly, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I can't even remember what mine was. That's how good I'm going.
It was a thing at Warrnambool.
Oh, ran second.
No, yeah, but you
had the quinella.
You spooked the quinella straight to camera that day off?
Yeah, morning of. Was just at work out at Archfield. So
yeah, brilliant.
So yeah, it was $14 Drifters. So you know, $14 and what $1.50. We're getting some W's here.
Hey, some of us are just better punters than others.
Yeah, until this week. Look, should we talk some racing?
Yeah, let's talk some racing.
All right. Do you want to go Brisbane or do you want to go Adelaide first?
So I learned we had a work conference last week.
Okay.
And it was great. So one of the things that I learned was eat the frog, which basically means do the thing you hate the most and looking the least forward to first. So all signs point to South Australian racing. Let's go to Morphettville. The SA Derby race, eh?
So as I aforementioned, we've been doing our South Australian form wrong, mate. We've been doing it all wrong.
Okay.
You need to look at this field if you want to, but there's no point really because look at the last 2 weeks. What you need to do is look for the stories, mate. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So Glinter Hope won. Natalie Young, hope she's okay. She's in a fight at the moment with breast cancer.
Yeah.
Fantastic story.
Great story.
Last week, Snap Dancer, Ethan Brown, first time group one winning jockey.
Yes.
Fantastic story.
Great story.
Has to be a story in here, surely.
Okay, let's go have a bit of a look-see.
Godolphin, is there a story there?
Well, yeah. You know, a group of battlers who have found their way into one winning horse and have been able to fund the conglomerate that is Godolphin Racing just from a few really, really cheap horses back in the day.
Has Damien Oliver thrown a leg over a winner? I think he has, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's jagged a couple.
125.
He doesn't usually get to the Metropolitan races though, so that could be a bit of a story. Is there anything else there that particularly sort of stands out
as a story? I can spruik. The story I've gone for here is not only Kieran Meyer and Dave Eustace, but Johnny Allen as well. So,
loves a derby.
Johnny Derby Allen here. He's won 4 of the last 6 South Australian derbies.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And he's looking to go back to back with old explosive Jacks, I'm assuming half brother.
Yeah, both by Jackalberry. Yes, well done.
So his half brother.
Yes.
Arguably the better looking brother of the two.
By all reports, yes. But guess what explosive Jack has? A detonator Jack does not.
Nuts.
A pair of nuts.
Yeah.
You know what I'd rather have? A bung face and a pair of nuts. Than be Brad Pitt and a eunuch as well. That's what I'd rather be.
It's a good point you made. But Johnny doesn't care. He has big enough nuts for the big detonator. Yep. I reckon detonator's about to explode this weekend.
Whoa, kaboom.
Look, Barrett 15, not the greatest draw on planet Earth. I was going to say planet Adelaide. But, yeah, okay. And Allegro has won, what, out to 2,800 last start.
Mm.
But you know what Detonator Jack has done? And I love this for my three-year-olds. It's versus the older horses every single start.
Yeah, and he's won.
And he's won every start.
He spanked him.
He spanked him. And I think he's the horse to beat here. Half brother won the race last year. Johnny Allen, look, going for 5 from 7, 2 in a row with Kieran Maher, Dave Eustace, who are absolutely flying. I think he can win.
Yeah, I think so too. Dave Eustace basically said it was his to lose. Just like, yeah, this thing wins? Are you kidding me? Are there still people out there questioning this stable over derby distances?
Any distances.
Any distances.
Please.
Yeah, mate, I think he wins. And I can understand Allegro being the favourite.
100%.
I actually thought that you would potentially go with Allegro considering you backed him in the Vic Derby last year. A race he arguably could have gone a lot closer to Utotsu in.
Oh, my God. He is a tough, tough horse.
The
character, the stablemate, absolutely gave him a jab in the ribs about 400 metres into the race, and he still – it was 3 wide the trip, and he still ran to second.
Yeah. And then he's got even more form around Utotsu in the Aussie Derby on a heavy 9, and then obviously spanked him in the St. Ledger. So I wouldn't be surprised. I think Ollie will give him a pretty sweet ride from Barrier 3, but I just can't question the Mara Nusa stable and Johnny Allen. And if you watch Detonator Jack's last couple of starts, yeah, there's something special about this horse.
They've got the finger on the trigger and they're just ready to go, boom, he's going to explode.
He's going to blow himself up like me on a Saturday night after being at the track all day and just transitioning into the gin and sodas and absolutely launching and blowing up like the World Trade Centers.
Oh, my God.
We're detonating. We're going bold.
We are. I must say, one thing about Allegron. Barrier 3, don't think that's a great draw for him, in my humble.
Do you think he's going to get stuck on the rails about?
I think he's going to get stuck behind a lot of slow horses.
I think he will too.
Where I think Detonator is just going to be on his own. Could even be Russian Camelot style. Just 3 wide last.
Yeah.
And just be too good for him. And I'm not saying explosive is or detonator, whatever
he's fucking, Russian Camelot, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's Russian Camelot, but he looks pretty fucking smart.
Yeah, he does, mate. He looks a good horse. The thing I backed in the Vic Derby last year, Jungle Magnate, he did a lot wrong in that race and he's definitely come back better this prep. But I don't think the Chairman's Stakes is the form.
No, and I actually don't think he's a 2,500 meter horse. I think he might be around the 2,000 meter horse.
Yeah, I think so. I think against his own age, he's probably going to be his best opportunity to win a race of this distance. But again, he's one that'll probably go back a bit and he just doesn't have the brilliant turn of foot that I've seen from Detonator Jack. So I'm happy to be with the Mart Eustace thing. Is there anything else that you give a chance?
Absolutely none. Commander Harry is a friend of this podcast with Nick Lloyd from the Mugs.
Yep.
No doubt he'll probably be backing this thing because he backs it every start. But $17, potentially one for the miners, but no. Old Detonator gets the JD there.
Yep.
Let's move to Brisbane. Sunny, wet, sun shower Brisbane. The Doomba 10,000 being run at Eagle Farm.
So tell me honestly, what do you think the track's going to be on Saturday?
I have no – there's just – we're here.
Yeah.
We're driving back. We're doing some work for our great friends at Ned's.
Yeah.
Tonight. And it was raining pretty heavy, not going to lie to you, Drifters. And we're not that far away from Eagle Farm from where we currently are.
Yeah, no, very true. Look, one word comes to mind, starts with a T, ends in erential. torrential rain. And by all accounts, Eagle Farms drainage is, we know Eagle Farms drainage is crazy. And when there's no rain around, it's basically concrete for the poor horsies. So I actually wouldn't be surprised if we're like on a soft six, soft seven. I would not be surprised.
That blows my mind.
Yeah.
Because it is very, very heavy.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think it's going to get to a heavy eight. We'll see anyway.
Well, either way, there'll be some give. And
yes.
So I have a clear on top selection, but I have one, you could, I guess, not quite a rough price, but one at a bit of a price that I think is going to run a race. So how did you see this race unfolding? Please talk to it.
Oh, I think it's a cracking race, the Dooman 10,000, now Eagle Farm 10,000, aka the Marzo Stakes. I think it's a cracking race. And what creates some interest is that I think there's a lot of really good horses who, you know, make this race more than just a this is a Brisbane Group One, whatever.
Another Group One, yep.
It's actually got some good things going for it. So you got Special K.
Yeah.
The punter's horse, Special K. He was unreal last start.
Brilliant.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Form franked.
Yep, form franked. Bit of a tricky ride by Nash. You say the form franked by Count DeRupi. I was at the track when he won last start. I thought he was great. You got Rothfire, who over-raced massively last start. I think he'll get to the front here from barrier 7. Maybe he'll relax a bit more, but I think it's going to be a really fast pace, so the pressure will be on. Shelby 66. The list goes on and on. My girl Isotope right down the bottom.
It's got a couple.
Yeah, it's an awesome race, but I've got a clear on top selection, and it's our boy Marzu.
Has to
be the on top selection. We found him before his prep started.
Mm-hmm.
First race, $7 or $8, ultimate gear change, and he spanked the older horses, gets to a stakes race, spanks a couple of smart ones in Paul Ailey, who's in this, and in the Congo.
Mm-hmm.
Who I think should have won the All-Age thing. He's just been booked in for the Everest for the next 2 years, mate. He's running figures that suggest to me he's a length or two off the best sprinters in this country, which is pretty bloody smart, mate.
So you just glossed over a very interesting point there.
Mm.
I believe the Star and Arrowfield have locked him in for not one, but 2 years.
Two Everest for Marzu. Yeah, so he's been locked in. So he'll race as a 4-year-old gelding and a 5-year-old gelding, obviously, if his form continues to prosper.
Now, for loyal listeners of this podcast, you'll know that we basically, whenever this boy has been going around, he's tipped either by one of us as our best bet of the day.
Yeah.
Either him or Crystal Pegasus for me. I basically interchanged him each fortnight.
So glad they alternated.
Thank God. Eventually found one winner. But the other thing that we're talking about with this horse, probably about a month ago, was the similarities that he has between my favourite horse of all time, Red Zell.
Uncanny. Uncanny.
Like,
let's go through them.
Okay, sure. Who's he trained by?
The Snowdens, Peter and Paul.
Okay, so was Red Zell. What are those silks that he really stands out in?
Bright red Triple Crown silks.
Oh, but you might think that he has horseshoes and, you know, on his feet, but he actually has flippers there.
He loves the mud, our boy Red Zell. Gelded.
He's a front-running horse as well. Guess the JD up there. The only thing I would like to see is Kieran McAvoy riding.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel right. Sam Cliverton deserves to have the ride.
100%. But he's done nothing wrong.
No, it'd be great to see Kieran on top of them, though. Look, Marzu, he's running figures that suggest he's a genuine sprinter. We're talking top six, top seven maybe in the country at the moment as a 3-year-old. So he's only going to get better and better. I think he wins this. But like I said, this is an interesting Group One because there's some X factor here. Special K's got a lot of X factor. Rothfire's got X factor. Count DeRupi. Generation's got some X factor. On Trivier, the Kiwi. My girl Isotope. Oh, I feel sorry for her. If this was a good four, I tell you what, she'd give this a red hot shake. Forget her last run in the Galaxy.
Mm. Yeah, and she, I think she's still in play, not necessarily in this race. She could be a Stradbroke horse or a Tas Tiara, depending on which way they go.
Yep.
I've got a big watch on her. Mate, Special K is the danger for me in this race. I think he's just Nash. It's his first ride in a month. He's going to be hungry out.
Hungry Nash.
Like, his last ride was absolutely outrageous on this horse.
It was, yeah.
Could potentially be his last winner. And he's, I don't know. I don't know what he rode for the rest of the day, but let's say it's his last winner. So he's looking to go back to back here on Kemantari. Count Darupi has mentioned, Frank the Form. I think the stable have worked, finally, as a 7-year-old, worked him out. Because he can't.
Yeah.
He can't bang.
No, he can't. No.
He's a dud at stud. But what they have done is they've figured out he's a first up horse. So they're keeping him fresh in between runs.
Yeah.
Bit of giving the ground will help him. I think he's right in the game. I'll be playing some SRMs around Marzu and Kemantari, some Quinellas, probably exactors, because I think Marzu just wins.
Special K. Talking about Special K as a Group 1 winning chance is hilarious to me. But, man, I cannot disagree with you.
Yeah. So, Marzu on top for both of us. All right. Rest of the daytime.
Mm.
Some decent races throughout Australia, really. We have the what's that one at Flemington?
To get into the Melbourne Cup. The
Andrew Ramsden.
Yes.
So let's have a look here. This is a pretty underwhelming field. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie to any of you. Warning heads it up, top of the field, top weight. It wouldn't surprise me if he won this race, but I also thought Point Nepean was the most likely winner. Any firm opinions here?
Oh, yeah, no firm opinions, mate. Look, I'll say that Three Irish Eyes is bursting to win a race and has a form jockey on board and John McNeil, and obviously with the right stable, draws well as well through Irish Eyes. So, but no, I won't be playing in that race.
Mm. All right, best bets time then throughout the country. I have a couple.
Kick us off then, Mike.
Kick us off. All right, let's go to Scone on Saturday, because there was another horse in this race that was in the nominations for the 10,000 that I thought was a fantastic chance. And they're going to drop him back to his own age and grade. Race 7, number 4, Andermatt.
Mm.
$1.50 last start. You're getting about $2.30 here, so he's good multi-bait. But he could actually be racing in the next race, I believe, or the race after at Scone as well. He's an emergency there. So a lot to play out there. So he's listed in race 9, bottom weight, number 18. So he might get a run there, but he's around the same price either way in Scone. So I think he's a cracking bet.
Yeah, fair enough, mate. I think Andermatt's, worth a bet over the weekend. Race 6 for me in Eagle Farm. It's a race for the fillies and mares over 1,200 metres. I like the top weight in this, Babylon Berlin. Absolutely flies when it's resuming, doesn't mind a bit of give. It's a New Zealand horse, and it's been running over there really well in sort of group threes, placing group ones. Obviously, it's got the top weight, but I don't think that's too much of a concern over 1,200 metres. $4.20 with Neds at the moment. I think that's great odds.
Mm. Yeah, nice. Juan Diva, the favourite, I believe, in the race, was the one I looked at throughout the form guide. So we could play around those two.
Mm-hmm.
So is Babylon Berlin your best of the day?
It's not my best of the day, no.
All right. My best of the day comes in race 4 at Eagle Farm. And I was saying to you that this might just be the bet of the carnival. Star Tontes, number 10. She just looks incredibly well placed here.
She does. She really does. I think that's a cracking bet.
Race 4, number 10, she's against her own age, but she went against the older horses a fortnight ago. Was only 1.5 lengths off Count Darupi, who's going around a $9 shot in a Group 1 this weekend. Same with Kemantari. It's virtually Kemantari form for 3-year-olds.
Wow. When you put it like that, that's a great bet.
So I think she's out to 1,400 meters here. She can go on top of the ground, bit of toe in the ground as well. $3 looks an absolute steal.
Mate, love that. And no surprises with my best bet of the day.
Our boy Mazu.
I reckon he's a cracking bet, mate, this weekend. I know it's a group one. I know he's going against some proven horses, but he's going to sit just off the speed like he did in the Arrow field. I know that was a small field, but it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter here. I think he's going to go super, super well. Talking about a horse that's been locked in for the Everest for the next 2 years, mate.
Yeah.
Dua Red Zell, who won this in 2017, mm-hmm. went on to win the Everest in 2017.
He sure did.
I think Mazu, I don't know if he'll win the Everest, but he'll win this.
Hey, if he wins this on the weekend, fuck it. I'll back him. Why not?
Imagine if he comes out and wins by like 3 lengths. You're just like, whoa.
Oh, shit. Turns out he gets better when he races even harder company.
That's unbelievable.
Oh,
he actually hates heavy decks.
Oh, wait.
And as it turns out, he actually prefers softer, dry decks.
Oh, my God. Nature Strip's just
shaking in his boots over in Royal Ascot.
Not yet.
not yet.
Another one to look at is race 7 at Morpheville, Elation. Remember that?
Actually,
Mick Price.
Yes.
Cult? That thing one with an absolute leg in the air about a fortnight ago. So $1.35, absolutely no steal. Could potentially put it into some multis if I play that way. Probably not. More of a sit and watch, but. It's another late season 3-year-old that comes onto the scene. Could be one of our better colts. They're talking Cox Plate with this thing.
Oh, man, they've got high opinions of it. Very high opinions. You said to me you had a free 4-leg multi or a free 5-leg multi.
Oh, well, I did. So, and we've pretty much talked about it.
Okay.
So we have Mazu.
Yeah, our boy Mazu.
Yeah, we're going to explode in the next leg with Detonator Jack.
Okay, yep.
Star Tontes.
Yeah, okay.
And then Andermatt. I don't see any of them losing.
Hey, if it was that easy, then it is that easy. I can't see any of them losing either.
So
I'll give you strength.
Off the top of my head, because I'm going to make this into a post just in case. Leg number one is Star Tontes, race 4
at Eagle Farm.
Leg number two is Andermatt, either race 7 or 9, give or take, at Scone. Race 3 will probably be Detonator Jack, let's say that.
Yep. In the SA Derby.
Race leg 4 will be Mazu in the 10,000.
It's a juicy multi for me.
Guess the JD.
Better than my not-so-juicy 2-leg multi of Gypsy and Nazaki last week.
You know what? It's okay.
Get that on the big jobs.
You do.
Oh, well. Onwards and upwards, mate.
And as we were discussing in the car, you could make it a 5-leg multi and just put Zaki for the Doom Cup in there as well.
The freest money. This is the second line of betting is Polly Gray. Nothing's beating Zaki.
Well, cup. The heir apparent, Ayrton's going to the strap rug now. Got spooked.
Yeah, he got spooked. He's trying to keep up with the big dog up front.
No, different gravy up there.
This is group one weight for age gravy up here.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's tasty, isn't it?
Yeah. None for you.
I believe that's it. We have the Goodwood next week, which is incredibly exciting.
Extreme Warrior Stakes.
Extreme Warrior Stakes. Yep.
Chips in.
And the Dooman Cup as well.
Brilliant.
The Zaki Stakes.
The Zaki
Cup, yep. I might say.
We are heading to the track this weekend, Drifters. If you're there, say good day.
Yeah, why not? We'll be in the members section, but, you know, we'll be in and around the mounting yard as well.
Yep, keep an eye out for our beautiful mugs.
All righty. Thanks for listening, Drifters. See you next week.
Good luck.